Max Verstappen wins again to stretch his championship lead after Ferrari fumbles to turn second and third on the grid into fourth and sixth at the flag. This is the F1 Strategy Report. My name's Michael Laminato and this is Round 13, the Hungarian Grand Prix, powered by LeaveCal. Keep track of employee leave and make resource planning easy. Search LeaveCal in the Zero App Store. Ferrari explicitly targeted a 1-2 finish in Hungary, knowing that the twisty Hungaro ring would ideally suit its SF75. And after Friday practice, it seemed set to make that goal a reality. But the weekend slipped away from the team from there. Cooler conditions on Saturday meant it couldn't even take pole. And in the race, it had to deal with the dual threat of Mercedes and Red Bull Racing for the podium. At half distance, Charles Leclerc had the lead, but a strategically aggressive Max Verstappen undercut panicked Ferrari into making a serious tactical error, gambling on hard tyres it had never used before and that were too slow for the conditions. Verstappen breezed past not once but twice for victory, and Leclerc was forced to stop again, leaving him sixth and now way off the title pace. Was this another Ferrari fumble, or was there more to the latest calamitous result for Maranello? To talk us through it, I'm joined by F1 managing editor of motorsportmagazine.com, Christian Menarth. Christian, how are you doing?
Thank you very much, and hello to Australia.
And hello to Budapest, I suppose. Or goodbye to Budapest. Goodbye to the first half of the season, because we can finally take a little bit of a break, a little bit of a breather, and process everything we've seen, particularly in the last month. And I want to start here because it's a question I think I'm going to be asking increasingly in the next few rounds, but July was a really important month for the championship. We had four races in 5 weeks. They were all kind of important. We saw some different tracks. And the championship really feels like it's heading in one direction now. After the last four races, and in particular Hungary, how are you feeling about the state of the championship and where we've ended up at this point?
The state of the championship is a lot worse than than the races themselves. Mm. So if you just look at the championship standings, it's not that exciting. But if you look at the single races, they've been quite exciting. So that's a bit sad. But so if you ask sportsmen what they think about the championship, they never tell you what they really think. They say, yeah, I'm going to take it race by race or whatever. And I have the same approach now. I just take it race by race and not look at the championship standings.
That's important advice. I think that is good, because I did the numbers. I feel like we're getting close to being able to count down when the championship can be won, and it can be won in Japan, which is very close. So race by race is a good strategy, I think. I think that's a very good strategy. This in Budapest was meant to be a Ferrari track, and I guess on some days, in some sessions, it was a Ferrari track this weekend, because it's a car that suits that kind of narrow, twisty circuit. Friday looked really ominous when it was still quite warm in the way that Hungary often is. It looked like Ferrari was going to really sweep the floor with everybody. And yet, what we saw on Saturday and Sunday looked nothing like that. Does Ferrari understand why that is? I thought it was interesting that Mattia Binotto said after the race that it's the first time all season that he didn't have a handle on what was going on.
Yeah, I think that's the big part. We were all talking about strategy, and I think we will hear. And it's really, really interesting what happens in terms of strategy. But the biggest problem was not the strategy, said Mattia. The biggest problem was just that they didn't have the pace. And it was the first time in 13 races this year that they didn't have the pace to fight for the win. And I asked him if they have a clue why. And he said, no. I mean, the obvious thing would be the temperature. Mm-hmm. But it's never as easy as that in Formula One, isn't it?
No, it's never. It never seems to be one thing. But, well, I'm curious on your take on this, because I was sort of looking at the lap times, and it's clear they were certainly not miles away like it looked like they were on Friday. But the car still seemed competitive enough, at some points maybe the fastest car in the race. Does it feel like Mattia was exaggerating a little bit when he says that they were just too slow to win?
I don't think so. I think they could have ended up on the podium, definitely, if they would have got the strategy right. But there was something interesting that Carlos Sainz said. You just have to compare my soft stint with Lewis' soft stint. So a bit of a problem with comparing the speed is, or the performance, is that they all started on different tires. Mm-hmm. Ferrari started on the medium tire. The Red Bulls and Russell started on the soft tire, but Lewis was actually the only one who started on the medium tire as well of the competitive guys, and so he had to use the soft tire in the end as well, and he pitted in lap 51, and Sainz pitted in lap 47. So it's kind of a similar strategy. You can kind of compare the tires. And I think Lewis came out of the pits like 7 seconds behind Sainz and finished 10 seconds ahead. So in this stint, he gained like 15, 17 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a true pace they had there. Okay, Sainz was struggling probably a bit more during the race than Leclerc. I think there could have been a bit more, but still, the Ferrari was nowhere where it was on Friday. Sainz said they had an advantage of half a second on Friday, and they had a disadvantage of half a second on Saturday, and probably compared to the Mercedes. The performance they lost is even more than 1 second because Mercedes was nowhere on Friday. So that's really a mystery where this second or 1.5 seconds went to.
And certainly did define the race. Before we look at some of those decisions into the race, I want to start with the start of Mercedes weekend as well on Friday, because it looked genuinely bad for that team. And I guess they arrived in Budapest expecting it not to be great, because it's not one of the circuits, considering the struggles the team's had this year, that should have been that good.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Mm. Look back to France.
Well, yes.
You remember
how
big the expectations were there? They were huge, the expectations. And I wouldn't say they were nowhere, but on one lap pace, it wasn't great. And after the race, okay, they had a good result, but for the reasons we know. And then Toto Wolff said, probably we have to think the opposite way now, because we thought this track would suit us, probably the next one at the moment, and just for what the number tell us, mm-hmm. what the numbers tell us, Budapest shouldn't suit us. But now we think the opposite way, and here we are.
So is it something that changed then in France deliberately, or is it really just them rocking up to tracks and then just seeing what happens?
I think it's the last one, because if you remember where they were on Friday, they were just mm-hmm. nowhere. And then they saw it was the worst Friday of our whole season, so we changed the car upside down. That's what they did, and it worked out.
It's really interesting just to remember back, even 1 year ago, when Mercedes never would leave anything to chance. Mercedes would have a handle on everything. And yet here they are, maybe not even understanding where their pace comes from or understanding which tracks are going to be good and bad for them. It's a really incredible turn of events. We'll get back to Mercedes a little bit later when we look at the race, because the big change really happened on Friday night or Saturday morning when the heavy rain really arrived at the track, completely cleaned the surface, much cooler as well on Saturday and Sunday. That was a major difference, as you mentioned, from Friday practice to the rest of the weekend. But really, FP3 should have been that opportunity, I guess, for everyone to evaluate how those things were changing. But it was wet. It was really wet, in fact. Is that actually that missing session in this weekend where we would have got more answers? Had FP3 not been wet, do you think Ferrari would have had as bad a weekend as they had?
That's a good question, actually. I haven't thought about that one. It could be, yeah. But I would say it's not enough, because mm-hmm. that swing of performance, can you avoid that one with just 60 minutes of practice session? I don't think so. And also, the weather forecast was a problem, because the weather forecast said it's going to be really wet mm-hmm. on Saturday and should be all right on Sunday and a bit warmer again. But as it turned out, it wasn't the case. So I'm not sure if they would have anticipated the conditions like they were on Sunday. And when I talked to Helmut Marko on Friday, because they had a really bad Friday as well at mm-hmm. Red Bull, and he said, yeah, it doesn't matter, because tomorrow it's going to be wet. I said, yeah, are you going to turn the car upside down for the wet conditions and for the cold conditions? He said, no, because on Sunday it's warm and sunny again. So the weather forecast was a bit of a problem, probably, as well.
Because when we did get to Sunday, and let's look at the very beginning of Sunday now, in fact, the reconnaissance laps to the grid, everyone was sort of surprised, and this happened throughout the race, that the tyres were taking a little bit longer to warm up. Everyone sort of thought that would be the case with the hard tyre, because it was very hard. Even Pirelli suggested maybe that the Pirelli hard tyre was too hard in the conditions. But it was interesting to hear Red Bull talk about the idea that they changed their strategy because of that outlap. They went out on softs, and even the softs were struggling to warm up. So I guess that really does talk to that idea that no one expected it to be as cold as it did. Everyone was almost starting from scratch on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I looked up the numbers on Friday. We had 34 degrees Celsius air mm-hmm. temperature and 50 degrees track temperature. On Sunday, it was 19 degrees air temperature and 28 degrees track temperature. So actually, you can say it's a different track with these different conditions. And especially the hard tire needs more temperature than the soft tire. I'm not sure how it is back in Australia if you need special tires for the winter. But here in Europe, when it's snowing, you need winter tires. And they are usually a lot softer than the summer tires. So that's just where you can imagine how different it is to get a harder tire to work than a softer tire. Even if you were just talking about 10 degrees Celsius or whatever, you still have to create that temperature in the tire. And it's not the surface temperature, because that one would be easy. It's just sliding around, but that's the temperature you don't want to have. You want to warm up the tire structurally. And that's really, really difficult if you're missing these few degrees Celsius. So the colder it gets, the easier, or the colder it gets, the better the soft tire is. And then the hard tire, the C2, as it turned out, really didn't work.
Let's have a look at the way the early part of this race unfolded, because one of the big questions going into this, and I guess we kind of got an answer to it, was considering George Russell was on pole, an excellent pole by him, despite setting no purple sectors in qualifying, in fact, just a great smooth lap, was that Ferrari, okay, they were still and are still, and even Charles Leclerc is still in title contention, but really, if Charles Leclerc is going to win the title, he needs to be the one doing the winning. But Carlos Sainz qualified ahead of him. And I guess we sort of got relatively decisive action from the Ferrari pit wall to give Leclerc what was the quicker strategy in that first stop, a long-running first stint, or relatively long-running first stint on that medium tyre to get past George Russell. But we already, but we've seen here as well that Ferrari making slow stops, just generally not being too sharp in the pit lane. Is that ultimately what cost Carlos Sainz a position to George Russell, do you think? Was it all down to the pit stop, or was it just that he seemed in the race for some reason not to have that qualifying pace he had?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we've seen quite a few times now, that Carlos is struggling a bit more with race pace than with qualifying pace. I think that is definitely one factor, but the other one was the pit stop you mentioned. I'm not 100% sure if he would have overcutted Russell with a faster pit stop. I'm not 100% sure. It could have worked out, but it needn't. So I think many factors, and you saw later on when Leclerc was behind Russell that he was able to overtake, so he had a bit of more race pace than Carlos in that race.
Was it surprising how early Leclerc went, considering that he seemed pretty comfortable on the medium tyre? And we know the next stint was particularly short. We'll talk about that in a second. But was it surprising that Ferrari wasn't willing to trust that he had the pace to ultimately overcome George Russell eventually, rather than keep that first stint a little bit short?
I think now we're talking about one of the major problems Ferrari had in this race. Mm-hmm. They were not doing their own race. They were doing the race of the others. So they were reacting to others. And the problem was that they started on the medium tires, but their main competitors in this race started on the soft tires. And that's where they sacrifice their own race quite a lot. And you mentioned the second stint. I think we're going to talk about that one later. But also the first stint, you mentioned Sainz, was pretty short, 17 laps. Leclerc did later on 18 laps in the second stint on the medium tire. They were the two shortest stints in the whole race on the medium tire of the whole field. And the medium tire was definitely the tire to be on during that race. The soft tire was too soft, the hard tire was too hard. The medium tire was the tire to be on. And they had the shortest stints of the whole race. If you count the total laps on the medium tire during the race, it's 54 for Verstappen, 51 Hamilton, 54 Russell, then Sainz 47 and Leclerc 39. So that sums up quite Ferrari's problem. They were not doing their own race, not doing their perfect strategy. They were just reacting to others. And probably it would have worked out last year or the years before, because overtaking was just impossible. Mm-hmm. But with this generation of cars, even in Budapest, you could overtake. And then you could use the performance of your tires, and you didn't have to cover the others so much as you had to in previous years. And I think that's something they underestimated, that you can overtake, and that it sometimes works out now when you do your own race. The thing is, if they wouldn't have covered the others, they probably still wouldn't have won the race just because they didn't have the pace. What would we have said after the race if they wouldn't have covered Russell and later on Verstappen, if they wouldn't have won the race? Then we would have criticized them pretty heavily for not covering them, I guess. So, however, whatever they would have made, they would have made something wrong. And yeah, they could have done better, definitely. And we talk about the disastrous strategy call in a minute, I guess. But in the end, it was, I think it's understandable what they did, but it just wasn't right in the end.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because, and you say there, you know, we probably would have ended up criticizing them either way. Perhaps. We don't know the outcome, but feels like that, doesn't it? And I thought it's been interesting. Carlos Sainz has been talking in the last couple of weeks, hasn't he? Saying that, you know, no matter what Ferrari does, people criticize them. They're getting more criticism than other teams, and it's not fair on them. Both drivers have said that, in fact. Do you think that's gotten to the point now where it's weighing down on the team? Is that something the team is starting to feel the pressure of because we've got a couple of mistakes and then a lot of criticism no matter what happened?
Actually, that's a discussion we have within our office as well. I said after France that I think Mattia Binotto is a great leader of the team because they had a disastrous weekend in France. Engine penalty for Sainz, the mistake Leclerc did that cost him the race. So there were not too many things to be happy about. But he said, there is no reason we shouldn't win the next 10 races, and the target for Hungary is not a win, it's a 1-2. So I thought, okay, he's not blaming Leclerc for the mistake he did. Remember back then when Sepp did that mistake in Germany when he was leading the race. I remember the press release afterwards when Maurizio Arrivabene was still the team principal there. He didn't even mention Sebastian in the quote and in the press release. He just said, we saw with Kimi what was possible with this car. And actually, Ferrari was responsible for the mistake as well, but because of their strategy. But that's a different story. But then I thought about Mattia, where it's clear that it was Charles' mistake, but he wasn't blaming him. He said, yeah, that can happen when you push. That's it. And he was so optimistic and helping his own driver and his own team. So I think Mattia is a great leader. Here we have a problem because it's the strategy again, and it's not the first time Ferrari has a problem with the strategies. And we mustn't forget that Mattia is not doing the Ferrari strategy, but he has a team and for the strategy. And in the end, he's responsible for the team, for the strategy team as well. And I'm not 100% sure if it's Inaki Rueda who finally takes a decision or whatever, but they definitely have to work on their strategy department. If it's the tools they have, the strategy tools, where they do their calculations, or if it's the team itself, I don't know. But I think we're coming to a point where not Mattia is the guy to blame for, and we should talk about if he's the right one. But Mattia should probably take action within the strategy team and do whatever is necessary. If it's the people, I don't know. It could be the tools as well, but they definitely need to ramp up their game because the mistakes have been too costly this season.
And it's going to be an interesting discussion that I think will go over the next half of the year. As we approach that second pit stop, that crucial second pit stop for Leclerc on lap 39, let's contrast this race with Red Bull Racing's race with Max Verstappen, started on the soft tyre, as you mentioned. And this was the complete opposite of doing someone else's race, really, because Red Bull went in with a pretty clear plan of how they wanted to address it once they decided to start on that soft tyre. Extremely aggressive, and it's sort of interesting to think of the Hungarian Grand Prix almost like an example of the entire season to date. Red Bull very aggressive, Ferrari sort of fumbling a little bit. Is it understated a little bit that Red Bull went out and won this race because we're talking so much about Ferrari losing it? Did Red Bull really deserve the full credit, I guess, for this more than they're getting, perhaps?
I think so, yeah. Especially if you look at the pace Max had. That was really, really, really incredible. I mean, Ferrari, as you mentioned, helped them a bit, but still the Red Bull pace was incredible that they had, especially the last stint, the early stop in lap 38. If you compare it to anyone else, Max even spun and was unbelievable fast in the whole stint. So that was really, and I want to talk about the spin as well, because this perfect 360, I can only imagine what other drivers would have done when they spun. Probably they would have just be standing there trying to get the car to neutral, get into the first gear and start again. And Max did it perfectly. He was already on the throttle again when he was like in 180 degrees or whatever, and then just lost a few seconds. That's it. It was unbelievable.
It was extremely impressive. But yeah, you're right. I mean, and he's done it before, hasn't he? Max has done that kind of thing before where he saves these great spins. I don't know. He's just got a great feeling for it, I guess. So he's a very good driver. I guess that's what it is, really.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be surprised.
Think back to Brazil a few years ago when it was so wet. And he just... I mean, he was on the brakes all the time, but he released the brakes just in the right time not to hit the wall and then to be able to steer again. And then he was in the right place again. It's unbelievable.
Great Dutch commentary if anyone wants to look up that Brazilian spin. Was that 2016?
I think, because I think it was Rosberg versus Hamilton in the final races for the championship.
Yes, and then he passed Rosberg. What a great... Oh. Yeah, take me back. Take me back to the scene. How interesting. Great Dutch commentary, though, on YouTube. Anyone wants to go and look for it. So let's talk about that second pit stop window. You've sort of already mentioned Ferrari really not running their own race. They, I guess, panicked into this decision because Red Bull is being extremely aggressive with a pit stop on lap 38, really just past half distance. And they're going for a long run on that medium compound tyre. Ferrari doesn't have that option because they've already used mediums. They need a different compound. I think it's interesting here as well that not for the first time the drivers have kind of suggested different options. Now, Charles Leclerc said after the race he felt very good on the medium tyre, would be happy to keep going with it. And we've heard a lot of that, for example, from Carlos Sainz in previous races. He loves to tell the strategy team that maybe they're getting it wrong or giving suggestions, doing things like that. Remember it in Monaco, for example, even in France. They chose not to listen to Charles here. And the hard tyre, such an interesting decision because they hadn't run it at all. It seemed clear it wasn't quick enough. Is that panic, do you think? What's behind a decision like that?
I think it's not panic. It's just that they see Verstappen, their main competitor in the championship, doing something, and they wanted to react to it. They shouldn't have. And if they wouldn't have reacted and would have just extended the stint on the medium tyre, he wouldn't have won the race, but he definitely wouldn't have ended up in sixth place. So that's the problem. Charles had like 7 seconds advantage to Max when Max pitted, and then they knew if they're going to wait a few more laps and put on the hard tyre, it's not going to work out because it takes a bit to warm it up. So Max would have had such a big tyre advantage and would have passed Charles easily. So their thinking was, they have to pit Charles straight away, that he has the chance to get his tires up to temperature with, like, I don't know, 5 seconds gap to Max, and then has a chance to defend. And even if the soft tire is fast at the beginning, Charles' time will come at the end of the race. Actually, as we know, it never came, the time on the hard tire. So I understand the thinking behind it, but if you look at other races, for example, the Alpines, they pitted on lap 21 and 23 and went to the hard tire, and their pace didn't look great either. Or Mick Schumacher, he pitted on lap 21 for the hard tire and it didn't work out. So I'm pretty convinced they should have realized it earlier that it's a bad idea to go on the hard tire, but then they thought they have at least okay car, and the better your car is, the easier you get the tires to temperature and you can make them work. In the end, they didn't have a great car and the hard tire didn't work at all. But it's all factors that play together. And that's what ultimately cost Charles not the win, but at least P2 or P3.
It's an interesting thread, I think, for Mercedes, for Ferrari as well. Because I think back to the British Grand Prix, for example, they really misunderstood the tyres at that safety car pit stop, right? They thought the soft tyre, I think it was at the time, was going to expire very quickly and that the hard tyre would have more life in it for the restart for Charles. And in the end, that was completely wrong. And even Carlos Sainz understood that in the car, that was never going to happen. It almost just feels like they don't really have that rock-solid understanding of these compounds yet. It seems like they continue to misunderstand the life of these tyres.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. At least the pit wall, the drivers.
Yeah, not the drivers seem to get it, don't they? They do seem to get it.
But I think that could be a problem of Charles, that he's too nice in the end. I had a lot of discussions in the last years with drivers as well about a certain asshole attitude you need in Formula 1. And that was mainly for battles on track. But you also need that attitude in the car when you're communicating with the pit wall. You have to make them clear sometimes that you want to have a certain race. But then the problem is still the driver doesn't have the bigger picture in the race. The pit bull usually has. And can remember so many cases where the driver thought it would be a good idea, but it definitely wasn't, just because they didn't have all the data available. Probably, if you think of Fernando Alonso, he sometimes has definitely the bigger picture when he's racing, and probably even a bigger picture than the Ferrari strategist. But it's the case so often that the driver sees only his own race and not the race of the others and what's going on around him. So in the end, you need a good working team, and Mercedes is probably the best example for it. Lewis is very clear on the radio what he thinks about strategy. But when a team is 100% convinced that it's the wrong thing, what Lewis says, they are overruling him. They say, no, we're going to do something else, and we explain it to you later, whatever. But at Ferrari, I have the impression that Charles doesn't have that kind of attitude to tell the pit wall what is right. He says, I have the feeling, or couldn't we do that, or whatever. But in the end, it's always the pit wall who takes the decision. And they probably have to adjust this a bit and trust the drivers a little bit more. And Charles also has to work on it, how he communicates it, and has a stronger say in that.
It's a really interesting point, and I think that's absolutely correct. It does feel like that team needs development time, and maybe that's just because they haven't been under pressure like this for a few years now. But then again, wasn't that long ago they were winning races and sort of thinking they were in championship contention only a few years ago? But I guess the drivers are new, the setup is a bit different, just need some time, I guess. Not quite ready to win the championship this year, because it doesn't seem like they're going to, does it? Let's be honest. Let's have a little bit of a look at Mercedes briefly, because they were the surprise packet of this race. We sort of already touched on it there. They rocked up. They weren't sure whether they were going to be quick or not. I guess they believed they could be, and they ended up getting pole, of course, with George Russell. And at the end of the race, Lewis Hamilton was extremely quick, and they got both cars onto the podium. And no Ferraris on the podium, of course. Second time in a row, they've got two cars on the podium. And I guess the feeling is that there's improvement at Mercedes. And definitely they've gotten better since the start of the year. But how much of it is improvement from Mercedes, whether they understand it or not? And how much of it is the fact that Ferrari keeps making mistakes? Even Sergio Perez the last two weekends has been a little bit off the pace. Is it a bit of a false dawn, do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think we have to get Ferrari out of the equation in this race, because they just haven't been up to the real pace on Sunday, at least. So if you just compare Mercedes with Red Bull, I think they're still quite a bit behind, because we mustn't forget that Verstappen started on P10 and won the race and had a spin. And then Russell started on pole, ended up third. Hamilton, who we all know is amazing around Budapest. And it would have been such a nice story, because they have all these parallels between 29 and this season, where he had such a bad car with the McLaren, but he won that race in Hungary. Mm-hmm. And that would have been really a nice story if he would have won that one. So Lewis is fantastic around Budapest, but still Verstappen started behind him, had a spin, and won the race ahead of Lewis. So I think Mercedes is still a bit behind. And Mercedes is, I think they don't understand it themselves, why they are sometimes so fast and sometimes so slow, but at least they are getting there. So I wouldn't count them as favorites for the next races, but you cannot discount them anymore. So that's an interesting one, and it's going to be interesting, because at some point they must find out what it is, what makes them fast or slow, and then it's going to be interesting if they get it right every single race weekend.
But only 9 races to go. I wonder whether it'll actually be enough for them. It does feel like Toto Wolff said they've taken a different approach this weekend. They've sort of changed things up, and that's why all of a sudden, you know, it used to be that they'd be slow in qualifying and then quicker in the race, and that didn't seem to be the pattern this weekend, did it? They sort of seemed, George Russell was on pole, obviously, so very quick in qualifying, but in the race were, whether or not they were close to Red Bull is a different question, but they were still good. They still seem to be quick. So I don't know. I think it is going to be, as you say, it's going to be very interesting to see how they discover that. I've been asking this question at the end of the last couple of podcasts. I feel like it's too morbid to ask when you think the title will be decided this season. We're going to ask you anyway, because this was a big weekend. Are you willing to Be willing to guess?
Mexico. After Mexico, it's Brazil and Abu Dhabi, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Only two after Mexico.
So I think it's going to be Mexico.
Oh, okay.
What is your guess?
So I reckon I'm going to be safer. Not safer than that. I'm going to be more ambitious than that. And I'm going to say the US. I'm going to think by the United States, it's going to be over. Because if Max wins the next five, it's over in Japan. But I think next five is too much. So I'm going to say US, one more race.
Yeah, but you mustn't forget that Ferrari had the faster car for most of the races.
Yeah, I know,
now.
But they don't win.
So, yeah, but now they don't have any pressure anymore, yeah. Let's be honest. At least in the championship, they don't have the pressure anymore. They always have the pressure of being Ferrari and of the Italian media and of us.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think it's getting a bit easier for them because they realized it's probably not about the big prize anymore.
Yes. How that attitude changes will be really interesting. As a final one, because I think this was a little bit of a twist this weekend. Mercedes only 30 points behind Ferrari now. I mean, it feels like that's the battle now, right? Even George Russell only 20 behind Charles Leclerc, I think. Is Mercedes in that battle for second, and can they get it, do you think?
That depends very much on how Ferrari is doing. If they just start getting the results they deserved from the pace, they have no chance, I guess. So Mercedes has no chance. Mm-hmm. I hope they don't panic after that, because if they start panicking, then it's going to be even worse. But I still believe in Mattia Binotto as a great leader. And I think he hasn't been that great leader in the first years when Sebastian versus Charles. But he grew into that role. And this year is going to be a really interesting one for him personally, if he's up to leading that team in such a situation. And I think he can do. So I believe in Mattia. I believe in the pace they have in the car. And I think they make it not only Mercedes more difficult in the future, but also Red Bull. That's why I say it's Mexico, not the US.
Yes. Well, I like it. Your answer is better than mine, because it means we've got a little bit more excitement still to come in the second half of the year. And anything can happen. Still 9 races to go. I can't wait to find out how it is going to go, though. Christian, thank you so much for joining me. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much for having me. And don't forget that in hindsight, it's always an easy thing to analyze these races and say that Ferrari's strategy was wrong. But sometimes it's not that easy during the race. And when I see the pictures of the clowns on the Ferrari pit wall, I also have to laugh, I have to admit, but then it's really a lot more difficult than that, so think of that.
July was a crucial month for Ferrari's title hopes, and though it won 2 races, the gains from those victories were easily written off by strategic and reliability losses in other rounds, leaving the team and Leclerc's title campaigns far worse off overall. If it can't get its act together after the break, a potentially rejuvenated Mercedes could be a threat for second place in both championships. Thanks very much to Christian for joining me. The Strategy Report is powered by LeaveCal. Keep track of employee leave and make resource planning easy. Search LeaveCal in the Xero App Store. You can subscribe to The Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts, and don't forget to leave us a rating and a review to help spread the word. You can also find us on social media. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast. Special thanks to Ben Loke from Bloke Designs for the show artwork, and our theme music is by Simon Hosford. My name's Michael Amanato. Enjoy the mid-season break wherever you are, and I'll be back in a few weeks to debrief the Belgian Grand Prix.